Hello, friend Craig Ballard, Locked On Blue Jays. In today's episode of Locked On Blue Jays, going to deep dive the sort of things that I think Don Mattingly is going to bring to the table for this organization. I'm very excited to have Donnie Baseball in the mix. Also, a look at the good and the bad and the ugly of what we've seen in spring training as that ends today. And of course, more.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Craig Ballard. I am Locked On Blue Jays. I am thankful that you're spending part of your day talking Toronto Blue Jay baseball with me. First thing I want to deep dive today is Donnie Baseball, the man. And when he played, his nickname was the Hitman. I'm just so excited to have Don Mattingly added to this coaching staff. I can't even think of, and if you're a longtime Blue Jay fan, help me out here. I mean, when's the last time we had somebody like Donnie Baseball on the coaching staff? And when I say, you know, someone like Donnie Baseball, we're going to get into the sort of accountability that he's going to bring to the table for this team, but why would he even have the ears of these players? Why would they be respecting, seeking out Don Mattingly for help offensively and defensively? Well, the nickname Donnie Baseball, the nickname the Hitman, none of these things are just pulled out of a nickname hat, right? They were very, very earned. Don Mattingly was special as a baseball player. There are many, not even some, there are many who think that Don Mattingly should indeed be in the Hall of Fame for his accomplishments as a player. Don Mattingly, 6-time All-Star, that's going to work. How about 9-time Gold Glove winner? Wow. 3 times Donnie had over 200 hits. 7 times Don Mattingly had a batting average in the 300s. Over 14 seasons, so huge sample size. His career numbers, 307 average, 358 on base, 830 OPS. Over 14 seasons? My gosh, that's extremely impressive. He had several seasons in there where he hit home runs in the 20s, even a couple where he hit home runs in the 30s. And what I always loved about Don Mattingly, 314 lifetime average with runners in scoring position. This guy was an RBI machine. He was so good at situational hitting. He wasn't pull or bust, home run or bust, nothing like that. He was so good between the ears, always had a great approach at the plate. We're going to get into those sort of things that he can bring to the table to help the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, great in his only playoff series, his final season, 14th and final season, 1995, the Yankees made the playoffs, and that was Don Mattingly's only time as a player in the playoffs. And the 2023 Toronto Blue Jays need to provide Donnie Baseball with a better taste in his mouth from a playoff experience. I mean, my gosh, this particular one here, wow. 1995, you probably remember, that's the one where they lost to the Seattle Mariners. It's that famous clip of Edgar Martinez ripping that 2-run double down the line in the bottom of the 11th. Ken Griffey Jr. on his horse from first base, the tying run had scored. Here comes Griffey all around, you know, running, just unbelievable effort by Griffey. Huge slide at the plate. Safe, yay, a Mariners win, that huge mob scene celebration at the plate. One of the top highlights in postseason history, absolutely. And the last time really that the Mariners, prior to what they did to us last season, had anything to sort of celebrate there. So really cool memory there. That particular game, so I say Mattingly with a poor taste in his mouth. His Yankees were up 2-0 in that series. It was a best of five. Seattle wins game 3, Seattle wins game 4, game 5, deciding game at Seattle, 4-4 going into the 9th inning. Yankees bring in Jack McDowell, Mariners bring in Randy Johnson. Yeah, so the starting pitchers were coming in because it was all hands on deck, right? It's the 5th and final game. That's in the 9th. They blank them, 10th, blank them. Now we go to the 11th. McDowell and Randy Johnson still in the 11th. Top of the 11th, we got a leadoff walk. Now, Tony Fernandez, how cool is that? Some Blue Jay content here. Tony Fernandez, playing for the Yankees, would lay down a really nice bunt against Randy Johnson, would move that runner over to second. That runner would score. 5-4 Yankees going to the bottom of the 11th. Talk about the bad taste in Mattingly's mouth. The leadoff hitter is Joey Cora for the Mariners. He pulls a drag bunt down to Mattingly at first. He was a brilliant fielder, 9-time Gold Glove winner, right? Brilliant fielder. Mattingly makes a great play, fields the ball, lunges at Joey Cora to tag him out. Cora, in avoiding him, lunges and dives out of the way, and then huge controversy. He's safe, called safe. Was he out of the baseline? Yankees insisting he was out of the baseline. Umpire saying no, it was close, but no, he was not. He was in the baseline. Big argument, big controversy. This is well before, of course, the days of replay. Even looking at the replay, it's hard to see. It's hard to see. I mean, if Mattingly tagged them, he barely nicked them. And if he missed them, same thing. It was so close, so bang, bang, and just heartbreaking. Mattingly's whole point on it isn't even that he made the tag. His whole point is that him lunging to make the take forced the base runner, forced Joey Cora out of the baseline and should have been called out. So the next batter is Ken Griffey Jr. base hit. And then on the very next pitch, I think it was the first pitch that Edgar Martinez ripped down the line for that double. There's that popular mob scene, a celebration for the Mariners at home plate. So just an awful taste in Don Mattingly's mouth. In 2020, Don Mattingly would be coach of the year, would be manager of the year in the National League and take his Miami Marlins to the playoffs. They beat the Cubs 2-0 in the first series, but then would be unceremoniously swept by the Braves in the next series. So every time Mattingly's in the playoffs, it ends with a very, very a bitter taste. So 2023 Toronto Blue Jays, come on, got to be better for Mattingly there. Again, I want to just reiterate, there are so many people who think that Don Mattingly should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. As a manager with Miami, they played the Blue Jays in 2020 and 2021, and Mattingly commented that, hey, I can see the arrow was pointed way up for this franchise. They're brewing something special here. And he had fully thought, after parting ways with the Marlins a few months back, he had fully thought that 2023 would be a year off for him, at least 2023, if not further, where he'd just be with his family. And then at the end of 2023, take a look at the baseball landscape, maybe reevaluate and take a look at that point. Well, several teams called to gauge his interest in coming back in 2023. And he said it was only when the Toronto Blue Jays called that things got interesting. Even from that first conversation, Mattingly says that he walked away thinking, man, my plans may need to change. I don't know if I am going to be off in 2023. The Blue Jays are really piquing my interest. And he said they had many outstanding conversations, got really excited about joining this organization. Again, had seen in 2020 and 2021 that the Blue Jays were building something special here. So I'm so excited that Don Mattingly agrees that something special is being built here and he wanted to be part of it. Now, what's the big thing that he's going to bring to the table as a bench coach for this Toronto Blue Jay team? One word: accountability. Wow. It's only one word, but what a word. What a punch this thing packs. Accountability. If you're like me, then this is part of the bald head here, pulling your hair out in frustration. How many times the last few seasons have you seen the Blue Jays make mental errors out in the field? Not throwing to the right base, missing cutoff men. How many times have you seen base running blunders by the Toronto Blue Jays the last few seasons? And how many times have you seen just clueless situational hitting from the Toronto Blue Jays? It's time and time again. Well, Don Mattingly addresses all of that. Right now, the Toronto Blue Jays, from what we've always seen, man on first and second, nobody out. Your job is to try to shoot that to right field to advance the runners. Whatever you need to do to advance those runners. That's situational hitting, right? That's how you can manufacture some runs. This is what the Blue Jays haven't been doing. We've been seeing the Jays time and time again in these situations, taking that 2-0 fastball on the outside corner, which is a perfect scenario to shoot that to right field, do exactly what you need to do. But the Blue Jays have been so home run or bust, they try to pull that pitch. Inevitably, it's a ground ball to the shortstop for a double play. That batter comes back to the Blue Jay dugout. Everyone just goes about their business. I don't see any words being mentioned to that player. I don't see any accountability happening. Now, you know, when you come back to the dugout, if you picture yourself coming back to the dugout, there's the screen there, and then there's the two entrances on one side or the other. On the far right side is where Vlad and all the guys there hang out. On the far left is where all the managers hang out, where Don Mattingly will be. If you've not minded your P's and Q's with situational hitting, or if you've thrown to the wrong base or the wrong or missed the cutoff, if you've done something wonky between the ears and you're coming back in the dugout, you'd better head to that right side, because coming through to that left side, Don Mattingly, Donnie Baseball, going to be in your ear. He's going to be crystal clear that that was unacceptable. So the level of accountability that I firmly believe has been non-existent for the Toronto Blue Jays the last few seasons, it will be massively on point thanks to Don Mattingly. We've already seen Vlad talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a gold glove winner, by the way, defending gold glove winner at first base, by the way. He's already spoken about how Don Mattingly has helped him with his defensive positioning, his footwork. And Don Mattingly won't just be an asset to defense at first base either. He is between Donnie Baseball, right? Between the ears, he is as good as it gets. Got to bring that accountability, but he's going to help bring improvements to the approaches at the plate and to the fielding. And again, one word to describe everything that has to do with Don Mattingly: accountability. I'm very excited to have Donnie Baseball in the Blue Jays mix. Now let's talk a little LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Add your job with the purple hashtag HiringFrame to your LinkedIn profile. Spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience that you can quickly prioritize who you want to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Second segment of Locked On Blue Jays, usually where we like to get into some good and bad, the ugly. And considering today's the final day for spring training, let's go ahead and take a look at some good, bad, and ugly of what we've seen from the Toronto Blue Jays in spring training. Starting, of course, with the good. Shout out to Nathan Lucas and Otto Lopez. One of those two surely going to be granted later on today the final roster spot. So for one of those two, the good is going to become the great, as one of those two is going to achieve a lifelong dream of breaking camp with a major league team. I mean, whichever one does get sent down is not going down to the minors with their head held down low or anything, hanging their head, anything like that, right? They both were very impressive. They both showed that they belong on the big league level, I think, this spring. And whoever does get sent down, if anything wonky does happen on the big league level, it won't be long before we see that player back up on the big league level. I think you can also give sort of a shout out to Vinny Capra as well. Real dark horse here. I don't think he's in the mix like Lopez or Lucas are for that last spot. But Vinny Capra, again, same idea. He didn't exactly embarrass himself this spring training. Didn't do a ton of hitting, but had some big hits, drove in some runs, had a good eye at the plate as well. I thought Vinny Capra did a lot to show that he could be a contributor on this team as well. How about Rob Brantley? Rob Brantley has spent parts of 8 seasons on the big league level, last 2 with the Yankees. He's a career 225 hitter. He spent parts of 8 seasons on the big league level because of his defense and what a good baseball mind he is. He's not good at the plate. Career 225 hitter. Since 2015, Rob Brantley has 17 hits on the big league level. I should say only 17 hits on the big league level. This guy had 14 in spring training for the Blue Jays. Rob Brantley hit .438 for the Blue Jays. His OPS was 11.11 in spring training. I get that it's spring training, right? I get it. And, you know, you could say only spring training. I get all of that. And it's not like I think Rob Brantley has now found himself at the plate and needs to be brought back up to the biggest. No, nothing like that. But if you're the Blue Jays, he did enough where I'm sure they had internal conversations of, hey, do we need to carry a third catcher here? Because Rob Brantley is just knocking this out of the park. He's really impressing us behind the plate and at the plate. Right now, I think if there was an emergency catcher the Jays needed to use, it would be Dalton Varsho. But certainly Rob Brantley showed that, again, if something wonky does take place on the big league level, man, he's going to be a very serviceable veteran catcher to call up, and the Blue Jays can go ahead and be very comfortable with him. Literally, the only reason Rob Brantley didn't lead the team in hits this spring is because he went down to the minors a couple days ago. He just didn't get enough at-bats to do that. He's as we speak right now, he's number 2 on the team in hits. Like, out of nowhere, Rob Brantley, the offensive machine. That was awesome to see. How about Addison Barger? Now, sent down to the minors, yes, but what did we see from Barger? We saw that, again, somebody who didn't exactly embarrass himself out there at spring training and, in fact, showed a lot of promise. I really consider Addison Barger, and what I thought we saw from him was the left-handed version of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And what I mean by that, when Barger forces the pitchers to come into the strike zone like when Vlad does, that swing, now Barger's a lefty, right? Vlad's a righty, so different swing, different mechanics, sure, but the controlled violence, the whip that they bring that bat through the strike zone, extremely impressive. Addison Barger going to be on the big league level sooner rather than later. Would not surprise me if he contributes to the 2023 Toronto Blue Jays. 2024 and going forward, absolutely no doubt about it. You don't even pencil that in. You can pen that in. Addison Barger will be a big leaguer for the Toronto Blue Jays 2024 and going forward at the latest. We may see him contribute. That's what he showed in spring training. He may be ready to contribute this season. Aurelvis Martinez. Boy, somehow I'm in the minority here of still being really excited about Aurelvis Martinez. I find a lot of Blue Jay fans have sort of moved on from him, not as excited. I'm massively excited about Aurelvis Martinez, and I thought he hit really well in spring training. Aurelvis, every single time we've seen Aurelvis Martinez play his peers, so people that are his age, he's not just been good, he's been dominant. Where we've seen him scuffle and where people lose some faith in him is when he gets moved up in the rankings. Now he's playing older, more seasoned players, and it has taken him some time to get caught up to that. To me, that just feels like par for the course. At some point, it is all going to catch up where he is, you know, in his early 20s, mid 20s, where he is playing all his peers. And I think that's going to be at the big league level. And I think Aurelvis Martinez showed this spring why he should still be a top prospect for the Blue Jays and somebody. I don't know if he can contribute. I don't know if Aurelvis can contribute in 2023 like Barger can. But, man, I'm so excited about Aurelvis Martinez. He's another one where I say for sure 2024 and going forward, big-time contributor to the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think he established – or I think he solidified that with a really good spring. Rainer Nunez only had the one home run. I only remember the one home run anyway. But I mean, it was crushed. He's got a lot of power. A lot to be excited about him coming through the system as well. How about the good and the bad and the ugly? How about some more good when it comes to what we saw in spring training? Springer, Bo, and Vladdy. Now, not just good to have Vlad back. That's already good, right? That Vlad was healthy and okay. But these guys who, you know, I feel have to do the heavy lifting for this offense this season, these are the three that are tied for the team lead in home runs. So gotta like that. How about Whit Merrifield and Bo Bichette hitting well into the 300s? Well done. That's in the good category. Bo leading the team in hits, of course. But who's right behind Bo for the team lead in hits? And who's also hitting well into the 300s, like 360? Kevin Kiermaier. Pardon me. Wow. 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 We talked yesterday about the fact that, you know, you can be a World Series contender and have a poor hitter in your nine spot if that poor hitter is elite defensively. And we said that describes Kevin Kiermaier. Well, my gosh. No shift, could that help Kiermaier? Because traditionally, Kiermaier's not been a good hitter. No shift could help Kiermaier. And we looked at yesterday as well, Kiermaier's career at Rogers Center is a .287 hitter. Now, all of a sudden, he seems to have found his bat in spring training. You know he's elite defensively. There's nothing that can happen where Kevin Kiermaier is not like a top three center fielder, an elite defensive center fielder. There's a lot that could happen where he's not a very good hitter. So really cool to see him have his hitting shoes on so far as a Toronto Blue Jay. How about Santiago Espinal? Now, what did we see from Espinal last season? We saw him break down as the season went on. Now, but you see the shape he came to camp this season. I think he really understood that. He clearly has put in the work in the offseason to build that body, to have it be a little bit more sustainable for the grinds of a long season. He's leading the team with three stolen bases, and I just think he's put himself in a really good position to get a lot of playing time for the Toronto Blue Jays this season. Vladdy and Varsho taking some walks. That can go in the good category. How about what we've seen from Kevin Gausman? New pitch clock, new balk rules, all this stuff. Will it affect Kevin Gausman? Major League Baseball literally using Kevin Gausman's pitching as the example of what's illegal now. His mechanics literally using that as the example of what's illegal now going forward. How will Kevin Gausman adjust from all this? Will this be a problem? This, that. He's striking everybody out, and he didn't even allow a darn run in spring training. Pardon? Did not even allow a run. Struck everybody out and didn't allow any runs. Like, oh my gosh, Kevin Gausman, wow, incredible spring, certainly in the good category. Also in the good category, back into that bullpen, Jimmy Garcia, Jordan Romano, and Tim Mesa, all looking really good. And finally, in the good category, shout out to Bowden Francis. I don't know, because there is some depth in this bullpen right now in AAA. So I don't know if Bowden Francis can contribute to the Jays this season, but man, he really looked the part, I thought, in spring training. Really interesting delivery, really interesting stuff. Just a name to keep in the back of your mind, some really nice depth. Now, there is some bad, of course. Headlining the bad, the longtime Blue Jay pitchers that were trying to make the team that just got hit all over the place. Drew Hutchison, Thomas Hatch, Trent Thornton, to a lesser extent, Casey Lawrence, all of these guys. Don't know if any of them will contribute to the team this season. All of them got hit around really, really poorly, really badly in spring training. Kevin Biggio. I've not given up on Kevin Biggio. I know I'm in the minority there. He started really well, too. Kevin Biggio started really well in spring. But the last couple of weeks, wow. One for his last 16 with six strikeouts in there. And whether the Blue Jays are looking for him to be a contributor this season or looking to showcase him as a trade piece, regardless, just a horrible ending, just a nightmare ending, a firmly in the bad category. Could have been in an ugly category, but firmly in the bad category, the spring that Kevin Biggio put together. Alejandro Kirk, not exactly on fire. That's in the bad category. The Vlad injury. Certainly he's back, yes, but just the fact that he was hurt at all is not ideal for us, for the Toronto Blue Jays. He is back hitting home runs, yes, but he's hitting just .250. That's in the bad category. Brandon Belt trying to get back to 100%. Ricky Tiedemann. Now, it doesn't look like his injury is going to be anything too concerning, but it's definitely led to now the announcement. I don't know if you've seen, but he is going to be part of a six-man rotation in AAA just to try to help with that shoulder, help with the heavy lifting that he'll have to do this season. So not a devastating injury, didn't seem like by any stretch, but for Ricky T, but because we're so excited about this guy, any injury was going to fall in the bad category. How about the ugly? Because there is some ugly here. Now we're going to start with Yusei Kikuchi. Okay, let's strap in here. I know. How can he be in the ugly category? His numbers were eye-popping. I know. For me personally, the issue with Yusei Kikuchi has been that cutter is just atrocious. He seems to have scrapped it. Okay, good. But his fastball command. I haven't liked his fastball command very much in spring. His last start, I really liked it. But here's the thing about Yusei Kikuchi. I'm a glass half empty when it comes to Yusei Kikuchi, and I know there'll be a lot of glass half full that if he gets off to a good start, they're going to be saying, ah, look at that. See, told you, Yusei, not even the fifth starter. He's the fourth starter. Let's see what Bassett does. Yusei could be the third starter. There's going to be a lot of excitement if he gets off to a good start. What I'm saying is I need to see an entire season, and I say that because we've seen Yusei be good before, and it did not work out from a full season standpoint. 2021. First half of the season, you say 6-4, his ERA is 3.5. He makes the All-Star team. Second half of that exact same season, 1-5, ERA was 6. Still struck out a lot of guys, but 1-5, ERA was 6. The Seattle team that almost made the playoffs that season had a losing record when he pitched. None of this is encouraging or any good. And in that second half, remember, had a great first half, but he couldn't sustain it for a full season. In that second half, there was only one pitcher in all of baseball that was hit harder than Yusei Kikuchi. So I need to see an entire season. Again, going to say, I love that he seems to have scrapped that cutter. Get that cutter out of here. It was just awful. And he's brought a new pitch as well, which is hopefully some cause for optimism. What Kevin Gausman calls it, a curveball slider-ish type of thing. That's how Gausman reacted when he first saw Kikuchi with the pitch. That's what he called it, a curveball sliderish kind of thing. And that coupled with the splitter and a few less fastballs, he's a Blue Jay, right? Like I am cheering for him. Believe me, I am rooting for Yusei Kikuchi, but I have to see it. I'm still in the wait and see category. And if I had to bet, would Kikuchi be good or bad? I'm absolutely going to bet bad because that's all we've ever seen from him. Dalton Varsho, oh boy. You know, I'm excited about Dalton Varsho, but goodness, there's no other way to describe his spring other than ugly. He says he's getting a lot of really good advice from teammates, and he thinks his bat will come around soon, but goodness, right here, right now, I mean, it barely over 200 he hit this spring, led the team in strikeouts, and hit just one home run. If you're going to lead the team in strikeouts, but you've got, you know, 5 or 6 home runs, if there's some sort of trade-off we can look at there, it wouldn't be in the ugly category at the very least. But goodness, this has just all not been a good start, been an ugly start for Dalton Varsho as a Toronto Blue Jay. Matt Chapman in a contract year, barely hitting over 200, 561 OPS. My goodness, didn't even hit a home run in spring. Brandon Belt didn't hit a home run in spring. Danny Jansen didn't hit a home run in spring. These are all in the ugly category. Danny Jansen didn't even hit 200 in spring. Yes, spring training. I get all of that, right? I get everything you're going to say here. It's spring training. It's not necessarily indicative. Even the things in the good category, not necessarily indicative that that's what the season is going to look like. I get all of that. I'm right there with you. For me, I'm always a believer that we can only go on what we have to go on. All we have to go on is spring. So in my opinion, that's what we've seen with the good and the bad, the ugly of the Toronto Blue Jays so far, or not so far, spring training jam done now. That's what we saw from the Blue Jays in spring training. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff. Now it's your time to make that count. If you go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote, that's builtmarchmadness.com. Vote for your favorites, and when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built is the best protein bar ever. Yeah, like seriously, they're so good. You're going to keep checking to make sure, hey, these are good for me, right? What makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, high in protein, low in sugar, and how about covered in 100% real chocolate? Yes, 100% real chocolate. Run to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. Third and final segment for today's Locked On Blue Jays. Not a whole lot of time for this third segment, but that's okay. We had some fun with some real good deep dives in the first two segments. Now, around here in the last segment, you know, we like to really take a look into the numbers. And considering that, including today, we have 2 days left where we have to find a way to get through these next 2 days, and then it's go time for your 2023 Toronto Blue Jays. So that's the number we'll deep dive together today, number two. So we'll start with some Locked On Blue Jays trivia. Two Blue Jays, so give me either one or both if you know them, have the franchise record. They hit two home runs in one inning. Two Blue Jays hit two home runs in one inning. Drop your guesses in the comments. Now, of course, the biggest number two in Toronto Blue Jays franchise history, two championships, right? Obviously, that's the calling card. Those are the glory days. I very much think the 2023 Toronto Blue Jays have an excellent chance to be a third. I know there's so many franchises right now who have World Series aspirations as the season's just about to start. But I really think it's legitimate that the Blue Jays will be capable of adding on to that two World Series championships. And that's what the roster as is. Keep in mind, of course, as this season goes, we're going to see at least one, probably a couple pretty significant trades. I don't know about blockbuster, because the card for the blockbuster was the Gabriel Moreno. They've played that card, so probably not like that. But I could still see, as good as this roster is, as excited as I am about this roster as is, I still think that we'll see some moves along the way here, one or two. Now, of course, the last out of that 92 World Series was Otis Nixon dragging that bunt to Mike Timlin, throws to Joel Carter. Blue Jays win that first World Series in 92. Well, a couple seasons later, Otis Nixon would join the Blue Jays, would wear number two, speaking of number two, and had two seasons, speaking of two, with the Blue Jays, and Otis would steal 101 bases for the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, very rare in Blue Jay history to have a stolen base specialist like Otis Nixon, but for a couple seasons, the Blue Jays did have him there. Traditionally, number two has been worn by many infielders in Toronto Blue Jay history, the Joe Panics, the Jake Lambs, Tulo, the Dave Bergs, the Cesar Asturias, Fred Manrique, Luis Soho, Nelson Liriano. Now, the second Blue Jay ever to wear number two was Danny Ainge. Yeah, that Danny Ainge of Boston Celtic of basketball fame. He started off his professional career as a baseball player. And in fact, Danny Ainge was the youngest Blue Jay to ever hit a home run. He had a piece of Toronto Blue Jay history. That record lasted all the way until Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s first career home run. He was a little bit younger at that time than Danny Ainge, so Ainge now the second youngest Blue Jay ever to hit a home run. And fun fact about Danny Ainge, I mean, how many guesses would it take for you to get to Danny Ainge on this if you didn't know this, if I wasn't telling you this? But Danny Ainge is the only person ever who is a three first-team All-American. He was a first-team All-American in basketball and baseball, obviously. He was also a star quarterback. He was first-team All-American in football as well. Danny Ainge, yeah, that level of athlete. Who knew, right? Another episode in the book, another jam done for Locked On Blue Jays. Absolutely thank you for spending part of your day talking Blue Jay baseball with me. If you're like me, you're a baseball fan, you're a fantasy baseball fan, then keep it locked on the Locked In Network and check out the Locked On Baseball Fantasy. Certainly hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.